My name is Wei Yi, Assistant Minister here at All Saints, and welcome to our summary session for our sermon series on everyday discipleship for everyday people. We've been learning that Christian faith is not just for Sundays or for special times, but a whole life of walking and talking with Jesus and learning to live with God's attitudes and mindset in us. And these past 3 weeks, we've been exploring exploring faith. We've been talking about exploring faith more intently as spiritual teenagers. We've been talking about how Christians are not to be spectators, but to be growing one another. And talking about how heaven rejoices when people turn back to God, and that God calls all of us to join him in offering real, satisfying life to others. The aim of a summary session is, having gone through these past 2 weeks, to not to move on too fast to the next thing, but to recap the teachings, especially for those who may have missed anything, and then to really give ourselves space and time to reflect and discuss and even pray for wherever it is that we find ourselves in these things. So what we're going to essentially do is time travel 3 weeks into the past. And to set the tone for all this, let me first go back even further to 3 decades ago and share with you a small mystery from when I was a kid. Back in Singapore in the 1990s, as my family drove to the city, I remember seeing a strange logo on the side of a tall building of a dog and a phonograph or gramophone or some other old-timey music device. And beside this very strange logo was an equally strange set of letters, HMV. And young me could not, for the life of me, figure out what they stood for, though I suspect some of you probably know. And so after, you know, struggling a bit myself, pondering it for a long time, I finally asked someone. It might have been my dad or somebody else, but they helped me. And it was finally revealed to me that this was the logo of a large music store, HMV Singapore, and that HMV stood for His Master's Voice. And then it made sense. Right, that's what was happening. Dogs don't normally pay attention, that much attention to music, but it makes a lot of sense that this dog would be interested and maybe perplexed if this device was in fact playing his master's voice. The dog's name is Nipper, by the way, in case you were wondering. And this is the image that I always think of when I hear today's passage in John chapter 10, talking about Jesus' sheep recognizing and listening to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. Christians call Jesus our Lord or Master. Well, the Bible is the record of our Master's voice. And I hope that this reading reminds us and encourages us as we move on to do this recap to keep the main thing, the main thing. Why are we even gathered here as a church, as a community? We're here to listen to Jesus. We're not here just to be a social group, or just to be a source of comfort and companionship. We're not here to talk about God in the abstract, or even to hold on to our own ideas of who God is. No, we're here to listen to Jesus and to shape ourselves to him in faithful obedience. And that should be the basis for all it is that Christians do. And so I pray this session will be a valuable and blessed time of listening to the Master's voice. And that it will help us as we go forward in life to keep listening to his voice at all times. And anyway, the Bible is far superior to, you know, a phonograph, other music device. It's not a static playing of God's voice. It's his living record, his living word that speaks to us even now, dynamically, in all stages of life. So looking back to our first week, where we're thinking about spiritual teenagers. Spiritual teenagers, you might remember, are people who, whether young or not, might already have a basic understanding of faith and are now in a time of exploration and self-discovery, testing out skills and passions and trying to find their place in God's plans. And we had a wonderful story from Luke chapter 2 of Jesus himself being a near teen. Joseph and Mary brought him up knowing, you know, God's story through things like the Passover. And Jesus grew up learning and questioning and listening to others and causing his parents no small amount of headache. And we recognize that these early teenage years of exploration are an important and wonderful time in the life of any Christian. Well, not least those of us who are actually teens as we grow in faith. And it's a time especially when people need space and support to grow well. And so we ask ourselves, what kind of community are we? Are we one where we recognize and encourage and cheer on spiritual exploration and discovery? For that matter, we can ask ourselves at a personal level, where are you on your journey? Are you a spiritual child, still learning the gospel basics and the Christian worldview? Are you a spiritual teenager, you know, done with some of that and exploring Christian life and discovering your place in God's world? Or are you a spiritual grown-up, having a good foundation and progressing forward in maturity, in an active faith? Maybe you fit into more than one category. We said that was possible. Based on your answer, here's some more food for thought. And I want us to sit with these questions for about half a minute. How are you immersed in the stories of God? Do you have safe people that you can ask, listen, and speak to? And who are they? Or are you yourself passing on the gospel story? Or when do you yourself make time to listen to people and to make yourself available and present for others? Let's sit with these for a while. I wonder what kind of thoughts you might have had in this time. I wonder if any actions may have come out from it. May God give us wisdom and help us to be a family that recognizes and encourages and gets excited about spiritual exploration and people finding their place in God's will. The next week, we looked at a related topic, growing up in faith and spiritual maturity. And Ephesians 4 showed us that how mature a Christian is measured by how much they understand and try to live like Jesus. We also saw that God has given us to each other as spiritual gifts or presents. He's made us a family, not just for friendship and love and comfort, but for the very important purpose of growing each other and building each other up. And every person is involved. No one is just a spectator or here by accident. He's given each of us our own special work, unique ways that we love and grow others. And the goal is really good. All of us united as a body, healthy and steady in God's truth, growing to be like his son and full of his love. And so we ask ourselves, is your faith stagnant? Or are you seeking to be more like Jesus? Are you shy about spiritual matters? Or are you bold because we realize that this is what we're here for? Are we invested in the growth of others? Do we see each other and want the other that we see to be a strong copy of Jesus, a strong imitator of Christ? How do we view each other as brothers and sisters? What kind of community are we? Are we the kind that grows together towards the life that Jesus has for us? Now, I'd like us to do a bit of discussion. If you're comfortable, I'd like you to find someone beside you and ask the question, how are you growing? And I've listed some ways here that you can talk about if you're stuck. And maybe these questions will lead to challenge. Maybe these questions lead to celebration. I don't know. You'll have to discuss and find out. But please discuss these questions for a few minutes. You know, what is something you've been finding challenging in faith? How has God enabled you to really grow others? Or what have you seen of God's work within your life? Let's take a few minutes. I hope discussion has been a blessing for you, but let's come back together. Last week, we looked at the parable of the lost coin and asked the great question of, what do angels party over anyway? And the answer was that God has always been, since the Garden of Eden, well, the seeking God. The silver coin in the parable of the lost coin was probably worth about a day's wages. And just as the woman who had lost that amount of money searched tirelessly for it, God's people, God's creatures, the humans that he has made, matter to God. He does not forget any one of them, but searches tirelessly for us, because we all bear his image and belong to him. Your life, my life, is valuable to God. And that's why when people turn back to him, there's a massive party in heaven. It's both the incredible delight of a father when a child thought dead comes back to him alive. But before that, it's also the incredible yearning and desire for the child that is lost. And when we become believers, God wants us to see and value others just as he sees and values and desires after them. And so we ask ourselves, are we people that feel God's heart for the lost? We've heard what heaven's joy is. Is it one of our joys too? Do we join God as he goes seeking people out? And you know, if you are someone who is exploring faith or not yet a believer, the question was also posed, maybe there's something for you to think about here. Are you the lost coin that God is searching for? Are you the one that God so dearly wants to delight over? We're going to have our second and final round of talking to each other. If you're comfortable with it this time, I want us to share in twos or threes one of these other questions, which are all about things that are lost and found. You know, who comes to mind when you hear the word lost? Who is God calling you not to give up on? Who can you invite into Christian fellowship and influence, whether here or in your own home? And have you seen any signs of faith that we can celebrate just as God celebrates? Now, as you share, please do be somewhat brief, because I also want us to pray with each other for whatever it is that we share. Let's go for a few minutes. Friends, I hope this time has also been yet another blessing for you. We're now going to close. And I want to close by encouraging everyone that the questions that we've been asking, the discussion that we've been having, and the prayers that we've been praying, these are for the everyday. These are not just to do once in a while. These are the things we should continue to do. It's a way that we keep listening to and obeying Jesus, continuing to listen to our Master's voice and to follow wherever it is that he calls us to go. I thought, let's end our time with some words from our Master. This is Jesus at the end of Luke, his assurance that he has won everything, his assurance that everything is happening according to plan and will not fail, and his assurance that you are part of that plan. "Why are you frightened?" he asks. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." Then he opened their minds to understand scriptures. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. And so they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. May Jesus be with us and bless us as we live for him. Amen.